I can't help but think as I stand here of Notre Dame in Paris, and so I'd like us just to bow our heads for a moment and think of the people of Paris and the rebuilding that will have to go on, and think also of all the other need in this world. It is bricks and mortar, but what bricks and mortar? So let us bow our heads together. Amen. What a week this is. We are asked to run the gamut of human emotion from despair to joy, all in the space of one week. We are asked to suffer with Jesus and to rejoice on Easter. We are asked in the space of 3 days to move from death to life, from crucifixion to resurrection. And what a week in this place it has been. Wednesday evening, there was a Seder supper to mark the beginning of Passover, held in solidarity with our Jewish brethren. And last night, we held a Maundy Thursday service, a time of serving one another and foot washing and delving deeply into the message of Jesus. And this morning, we stand at the foot of the cross and retell the old, ever new story in word and in song and in prayer. And we will move from the sorrow of this day to the celebration of Easter, but not yet. For those who only celebrate Easter, they miss the Christian message. For those who choose to avoid the cross and rush to the chocolate, they miss the Christian message. So let us together in this time stand, sit at the foot of the cross with this Jesus, waiting and watching. Let us stand or sit at the foot of this cross with Mary and Mary Magdalene, with the Roman soldiers, with the chief priests, with Pontius Pilate, and with the disciple Peter. Christianity is the only world religion that confesses a God who suffers. And does it not seem strange to you that this should be so? That this religion is centered around the violent death of a first century Hebrew man, and yet somehow points us always, eventually, toward life more abundant? Well, it seems strange to me as well. But it has its own logic that begins to make sense when you see God as the one who suffers with Jesus and with us. This day is not about glory or triumph. That will come later, and it will be fed, will be informed, will be shaped by this day. This day is not even about truth or doubt or faith or doctrine. These all come way later in time than this day. Today is simply the day we sit at the foot of the cross with Jesus, waiting and watching. Today, divinity is not about divine omnipotence. Today is about astonishing compassion. Compassion is that marvelous word that means suffering with. Calm is with, and passio is suffering. To feel compassion deeply and sincerely is called for, especially on this day. To not only identify with one another, but to suffer with one another. It is not about sympathy or pity. It is about a solidarity of spirit, the highest possible degree of identity with another. And we might resist this idea of a God who suffers. This reluctance seems to be grounded in the strange and misguided idea that God should not be too deeply implicated in the pain of created life. And I would see this as lacking depth and clarity. I can make no sense, experience no sense of God in my life if I do not sense God as one who suffers. If I speak of the love of God and do not include in that a deep, deep compassion, a deep suffering with by God, then the cross, indeed faith, does not make any sense to me. It becomes more about the glorification of suffering, and that is never a healthy stance. It becomes about the glorification of suffering instead of its recognition and its invitation to forgiveness and to new life. And there is much here to forgive on this day. From the balcony I view with the perspective of hindsight and the knowledge of peoples and civilizations across these some 2,500 years, we begin with this acknowledgement and this deep sorrow and this compassion. This story of Jesus and his arrest and his death has been used as justification for racist and violent acts against the Jewish people almost as long as it has been told. And so we begin by recognizing the strange and hopeful fact that a story that has deeply divided Christians and Jews, the death of a beloved son, also has the seeds of unity between these two groups in the deep mythic structure that runs through the Hebrew Testament and that we heard Lynn read part of today, that runs through the Hebrew Testament and the Christian Testament. We share a history, and we share a conviction, and the conviction is this. We hear in Genesis, we are born in the image of God. This image, this imago Dei in Latin, is a gift neither deserved nor undeserved. It simply is. We are each born in the image of God. And from the teachings of Jesus and his words that have come down to us, whether preaching to the 5,000 or speaking with one only or growing frustrated with his disciples when they did not understand, we would also add today, when we turn toward, when we recognize, when we take to heart the gift of that image, our response will be to grow into the likeness of God. Growing into the likeness of God is the work of spiritual growth gained over a lifetime, perhaps in increments, or even occasionally all at once. Again, this week, we mark the death of Jesus, and we are asked to face the shattered pieces and the broken places, and to remain there until we can pick up those pieces and make something holy out of them. We are invited to move right close up to the recognition of the image we all carry. Broken, open hearts will move us toward the likeness. So sitting and waiting together at the cross with this Jew, Jesus, beloved son, we will look for ways to move in the direction of, to experience a sense of the love of this God who suffers with us. Suffers with us when we are in pain, or when we cause another's pain, denying our own image or that of another. Each actor in this story, each person plays a part in the unfolding tragedy, and in a part played, perhaps you will see something of yourself or of a situation. Perhaps you will see the need for forgiveness or a desire to be forgiven. Perhaps you will see connection with the events in our city, our country, our world. All are fodder to grow into the likeness. All are opportunities. Because this cross foundationally is a statement about God in this Jesus. And what it says is not that God thinks humankind is a wretched soul that deserves hell and death, but that God thinks humankind and the whole creation so good, so beautiful, so precious in its intention and its potentiality, that its fulfillment, its redemption, is worth dying for. So we hear Peter, who promised to follow Jesus to the grave, deny him 3 times to avoid being tarred with the same brush, to avoid the wrath of Rome or the judgment of his own people. How many times and how many of us have allowed our survival instinct to kick in times of turmoil, of violence, or of not wanting to get involved? Our instinct for self-preservation, silencing our better nature, blurs our image as it did Peter's. And so we hear of Pilate shuttling back and forth between Jesus and his accusers, hoping the easy answer would present itself. One gets the sense that Pilate negotiated long after he knew the right thing to do, the right thing that was not the popular thing or the politically expedient thing. how many times do we take a survey instead of a stand? With Pilate, then, we stall, and God weeps. We refuse to grow in likeness, and God suffers. And so we hear of the chief priest shouting, "Crucify him, crucifying him," identifying so closely with power that they follow this up with, "We have no king but Caesar." How many of us have ignored the need for change in order to maintain position or status quo? How many of us have wished that someone who was making life difficult for us would just go away? How many of us have taken that step further and acted to encourage that departure? With the chief priest, perhaps, we condemn, and God suffers. And so we hear of the soldiers mocking, piercing, flogging, hanging Jesus. And we imagine we would never be like this. But we do ask soldiers to kill, and we do ask them and their families to deal with the aftermath, and we call the death of the innocent bystander collateral damage. Our image blurs, and God suffers. Part of this day is to think on these things, to see ourselves some 2,500 years later as part of the continuing story as we sit at the foot of the cross, waiting and watching. And part of this day is to hear spoken of Mary and Mary Magdalene remaining there and watching and waiting to witness a mother whose sorrow is too much, even for tears. And to witness this death yet again, not denying or judging or mocking or cursing, not betraying or rejecting or flogging or killing, but witnessing to gain something of an understanding of what it is to seek to love as Jesus loved. Made in the image and seeking to move into the likeness of God, we are here again when we crucified your beloved Son, your Jesus. Amen.